Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Let's stand up for Manchester United Football Club, which gave its grieving city an emotional 2-0 win over Ajax Amsterdam in the Europa League final. The Red Devils of Man U, who finished sixth on the table during the recent English Premier League season, got goals from Frenchman Paul Pogba and Armenian Henrik Mkhitaryan. Pogba pointed to the sky in Stockholm, Sweden, as he was mobbed by teammates after his 18th-minute opening goal. Mkhitaryan scored the second goal in the 48th minute, hooking the ball in from close range from a corner. The match was played 2 days after 22 people were killed in a terrorist attack at a concert in Manchester, and 12 days after the death of Pogba's father, Fassou Antoine, who immigrated to France from Guinea in the 1960s. The man of the match was Man U's Spanish midfielder, Ander Herrera. At the post-match news conference, Herrera said he hoped the trophy would boost the city of Manchester's spirit.
We were really, really sad. Because when you think about life and football, you have no choice. It was difficult to train yesterday, really, really difficult for us. But the manager told us that the only thing we could do is to win this for them. And that's what we've done. It's just a football game, it's just a trophy. But if we can help or if we can support them with this, just 1% is enough for us.
Meanwhile, happy Manchester United supporters left the Friends Arena in Stockholm and celebrated the club's Europa League title. Let's listen in now to Man U fan Tim.
Mate, it was amazing. We've come here from Manchester. We've had a terrible day on the other night because of a terrible bomb. But we've come here and we've had a smile on the face. And we've just had an amazing time. And United have won.
Yeah. Who's the best in the world?
Manchester!
Manchester! Ole, ole, ole! Champion! Champion! Ole, ole, ole!
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Now let's go to Wales, where the exterior of Cardiff Castle has been transformed as the city prepares to welcome the clubs Real Madrid and Juventus for the UEFA Champions League football final on June 3rd. For our VOA football fans keeping score, the UEFA Champions League trophy is the most coveted prize in international club competition. The Europa League trophy, which Manchester United just won, is the second-tier competition in Europe. At Cardiff Castle, a large blue dragon sits on top of one of the turrets with a replica Champions League trophy. There are also banners for each of the 32 clubs that featured in this season's competition. It's not the first time the castle has been used to promote a sporting event. In 2015, a large rugby ball was placed on the exterior of the castle during the Rugby World Cup. The 2017 UEFA Champions League final will be played at the National Stadium of Wales in Cardiff. The 75,000-seat stadium has hosted English FA Cup finals, Rugby World Cup matches, as well as sold-out music concerts. It's reported that up to 170,000 fans will be in Cardiff next week. The UEFA Women's Champions League final, an all-French affair between Lyon and Paris Saint-Germain, will also be played in the city at the Cardiff City Stadium on June 1st. Now let's go to Bremen, Germany, where reporter Kwabena Quicksilver-Ofori caught up with Issouf Maranga, the youth coach of the German football club Union 60. Born in Ghana, the 54-year-old Maranga played for the German lower division club Neustadt in the early 1980s before turning to coaching. Kwabena asked Maranga how he got his start coaching in Germany.
I came here, I tried to play football, a higher team, but I get injury. So the team promised me that so far as I was long with the team, they promised me that they will pay for my coaching course if I make so. So I make my coaching course, they pay everything for me. After I finish, then they put me for the youth to train the youth.
Coach, it's not easy to get a special license to coach the German youth because the youth is their foundation and they don't joke with their youth development. How did you get this special license?
You have to understand the language. That is the main important because the children, you have to talk German with them. If you can't speak German, you can't talk with the children. So I went to school and I learned the language. So that's why I get this position.
Let's switch attention to the just ended the European leagues. Originally, one particular team, Anderlecht, they have so many African stars and it's very delighting to watch Anderlecht play. Mm. You feel proud because of the African players in it. Mm. And then they qualify for the Champions League. You know, you can see players like Mboji of Senegal, Frank Achampon of Ghana, Sowa Ajay of Ghana, Denis Appiah, a Ghanaian France, Doumbia, and then Steven Mboji of Senegal. How do you assess these players, their role, winning the Belgian League and going to play the Champions League of Europe?
It's very interesting, you know. In Germany here, it's very difficult for African players, you know. First, you know, because the German teams here, they don't have time. Only most, they have time for the youth. But they don't have time for player. Now they have to try, and if you come, they said, because if you compare to France, you see a lot of Africans playing. In Belgium, in Holland, a lot of African players. Because this, the league German, they said, because the Germans, they are so arrogant. They said their league is, if you compare with England, that is the best Spanish league. That is the best league in Europe, you know. So Belgium like this, they don't care. Holland, they said, is something like a third division here in Germany, you know, or second division in Germany. That is the main problem. That's why the Africans, we don't have more chance here in Germany.
I told you about the just-ended league, you know. Mm. You have three teams qualifying to the Champions League. Mm. Bayern Munich, mm. Leipzig, mm. then Dortmund.
Yeah.
In Bayern, they have one Ghanaian or one African descent. That is Jerome Boateng, yeah. The brother of Kevin Prince Boateng. How do you see his performance?
Boateng is a star here in Germany, you know, because even last year they said he is the best defender the whole world, you know, but this year he have a little bit of problem with his muscles, injuring, he didn't play constant, but still national team, he is the most, if they play without German from back there, they have problem, because if he's fit, he's there, no any defender can pass him, you know, because the way he wants, even now they have problem Bayern now, because Guardiola want to, because now he said he don't know what about next season, what Ancelotti will make with him, because there's some part of matches he put it at the bench. You know, he was unhappy because he feel that he's a star, he have to play. And now I heard that Man City, they want him, but Bayern say no, they won't let him go.
Let's go to the second on the table, which is Leipzig. All the way from the second division to first division.
From and the third division.
And then they play second, they are playing Champions League. Mm. And they can boast of one African, Deco Keita. He's a Guinean player. Yeah. How do you see that player?
Chelsea want him, Manchester United want him, Real Madrid want him. A lot of teams want him, but Leipzig say no, because Leipzig, they have the money. They said the players, because Leipzig, the trainer or the director said, they won't buy any player above 26 years. No. Leipzig, if you watch their players from 19, 18, 19, because they have their youth, they build their youth, you know. So if you watch the players, they started with this youth, the same system, pressing every time, active, pressing. That is their football. So for Leipzig, I think 2-3 years, I think they will be concurrent for Bayern and Dortmund.
Dortmund is a very popular team. They were third Bundesliga and they qualify to play the Champions League. Yeah. And we have one African player to be proud of, which is Pierre Aubameyang, the Gambodese.
Yeah.
He's a France-born, but he chose to play for Gabon. How do you see this boy?
Now, because they used to compare, they say the best strikers in Europe, he's among of the best strikers. I heard that he's going to leave Dortmund because he get Paris Saint-Germain want him, Manchester City want him. So it depends, because Dortmund said above 70 million, they won't let him go.
Okay, another French-born in Dortmund, that's Ousmane Dembele. How do you see that player?
Ousmane Dembele is a player, if you know what is football, every time you feel happy if you see how he's a technique, he have both legs, he can play left, he can play right, he's fast. Only sometimes now, because you have to get a good trainer to players like this to know how to control them. And Tuchel is a good trainer. He know how to control these young boys and young team Dortmund. Because Dortmund, they have a problem, because they lost their three good key players. Mm-hmm. And the trainer didn't want them to leave the team. Mm-hmm. But the management, they sell them because they get good money. So that is the problem they have now, Dortmund and the trainer. Mm-hmm. I think that maybe he will leave. He have a contract till 2018. But some experts are saying that after the season, after they finish the knockout finals this Saturday, they will sack him.
You told me earlier it's not easy to get a chance to play the Bundesliga, is the German league.
Yeah.
Mm. And then do you expect more Africans to be part of the Bundesliga?
Of course, because I have a friend here. They used to go to Ghana to look for some players, and they used to come here, because here in our city here, Bremen, some players came here to make exhibitions or to see how they, but they couldn't, you know. You see, because I myself, I went to Ghana last 2 years. I went to watch a Premier League match. Not here, that is Christ Krasse. You talk, say, it's something like 10th division. You see how I look the football, Azakes against Kotoko. I watched the match. They didn't finish, I went out, because the game, it was, you understand me? So if these high players, they say they are good in Ghana, if they come here, they are not too good, no.
When you are given the chance to go and help Ghana to develop the youth, will you accept it?
Of course, because I don't like to train the Premiership team. No, I like if somebody have an academic like this, I like to work with the young guys, because they have to learn. Because if you take a big team, they think that, oh, I am professional. No, but the young guys, they can hear you, because they have to learn. They want to learn too. Then you can show them that you can get your stars inside.
Africa is loaded with talents and all these things. Do you think if you don't find a way to develop them, technically and all involved in football. Do you think that talent will be wasted or we can make something good out of it?
The advice I want to give for every young guy who is in Africa, who is trying to be a professional, you want to come to Europe, please don't go to the Arab country. If you are 18, 19, you go to Arab country, you won't be any professional again. You just go there, maybe you get $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000, that's all. Because if you go there, you go like you are going to class Z. You try to continue to try your best that if you come to Europe, you come. Look, our striker, Anthony Yeboah. Yeboah, up till now, they used to say the best striker in Germany. Yeah. Look, Sami Kufuor. He played for Bayern Munich. Still, the Germans, they used to talk about him, the best defender. You see? So, players, if you want to be a star or you want to be a professional, don't follow money and say, we need money in Africa. But with 19, you can't say you want to follow your money and spoil your career.
That's Issouf Maranga, the youth coach of the German football club Union 60. And Coach Maranga was talking with reporter Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori in Bremen, Germany. Now let's go to South Korea, where France, New Zealand, Saudi Arabia, and the United States posted victories Thursday at the FIFA Under-20 World Cup football tournament. The French boys had the biggest win of the day, a 4-0 triumph over Vietnam that saw them through to the knockout round of 16. Jean-Kevin Augustine had two goals for France, which tops Group E with the maximum 6 points. New Zealand is in second place in that group with 4 points after a 3-1 victory over Honduras. Meyer Bevan had two goals for New Zealand. In Group F, the United States moved to the top of the table with a 1-0 victory over Senegal. Josh Sargent scored for the USA in the 34th minute. It was Sargent's third goal of the tournament, tying him with Augustine of France and Sergio Cordoba of Venezuela as the top goal scorers in the competition. In Thursday's other result, Saudi Arabia defeated Ecuador 2-1. Abdulrahman Al-Yami had both goals for the Saudis, who now have 3 points, the same as Senegal, which puts those teams 1 point behind the USA in Group F. Ecuador is at the bottom of that group with 1 point. And let me give a quick Sunny Side of Sports shout-out for USA goalkeeper Jonathan Klinsmann, who had a clean sheet against the Senegalese on Thursday. Jonathan is the son of former German football star Jürgen Klinsmann, who got the boot last year as the head coach of the U.S. men's national soccer team. The elder Klinsmann was replaced by Bruce Arena. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be here with you as always.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Thursday?
Well, let's stick with soccer for a minute. And, you know, there are some things that are bigger than sports or rivalries. And when we saw earlier this week in Manchester in the United Kingdom was one of those instances where it's brought a lot of sports teams together. They've paid tribute, as we've talked about, to the victims. Well, now, Manchester United and Man City, two crosstown rivals in the Premier League, are teaming up to donate £1 million to the We Love Manchester Emergency Fund, and they're talking about that with the hashtag A City United. Lots of people saying kudos to both clubs for doing this. It puts bigger things ahead of their rivalry, ahead of sport, and it's absolute class. So kudos to them for teaming up and to support the city that they love so dearly that was hit so hard this week.
One of the proudest cities when it comes to football, Andrew, when you have two top clubs like that, Man City and Man U, but nice gesture by the clubs.
Yeah, and a lot of proud fans out there. I've seen a lot of comments on social media saying, I'm so proud to be a Man U fan or a Man City fan or just from Manchester, such a great sporting city. A lot of people really proud of this move.
What else is trending in the sports world, Andrew?
Well, something not to be proud of is an issue with gold medal winning gymnast Ali Raisman. She tweeted about an uncomfortable encounter that she had while going through airport security. She tweeted that the lady at TSA, which is the Transportation Security Administration, that's the people that pat you down and put you through the metal detectors here in the U.S. in the airports. This woman at the TSA said, "Gymnast, I recognize you by your biceps." The man said, "I don't see any muscles," and he continued to stare at her. She said it was rude and uncomfortable. She said, "If you're a man who can't compliment a girl, then you're a sexist. Get over yourself. When will this change?" She said he was rude, shaking his head, that she didn't look strong enough to be a gymnast. So she weighed in a series of tweets talking about this incident, and now fans are weighing in support of her, saying, "Don't people know an Olympic champion when they see one? Come on." And then I like this suggestion. One fan said, "Ask him where he keeps his gold medals." So there's unfortunately, though, some trolls going after Raisman as well, calling her entitled and using words that we can't repeat on air. But a nice gesture from Colton Underwood. He is Raisman's boyfriend. He's a former National Football League player. He went to her defense on social media, said that the trolls attacking her are lowlifes and their comments are repulsive. So standing up for her on social media along with her fans. And there is a response from the Transportation Security Administration. They said, "We're sorry to hear this, Ali. We expect our officers to treat everyone with courtesy and respect. Please direct message us more details." So it does look like they're looking into that. Nobody likes to get poked and prodded when they go through the airport, but something like this is pretty troubling. And for somebody who's so accomplished as an athlete, it's kind of surprising.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, one of the things we always talk about on the show is how social media can give you a glimpse into athletes' lives off the court or outside of sport. And as we just saw with Ali Raisman, you got a glimpse into something that happened in her life. But we're also seeing that for J.R. Smith of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, we've also been talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers, of course, because of the playoffs. But back in January of this year, J.R. Smith and his wife, Jewel, gave birth to a daughter, Dakota. It's their third daughter, and she was born 5 months premature. She weighed just 1 pound when she was born, but half a kilo when she was born. So there's been this outpouring of support for him and his wife and his family over the past few months on social media as they've talked about the progress that their daughter Dakota is making. And then yesterday, after months in intensive care, she finally went home for the hospital. So Smith posted the news on Instagram. He said, "We walked in together, we walked out together. Thank you so much to our extended family at the NICU, which is the neonatal intensive care unit. You are all truly the world's greatest." And then he says, "My wife and I," back to #TeamNoSleep, #CodasHome, referring to his daughter Dakota. So I think that's something that parents around the world can relate to, not getting any sleep when you have a child. But fans are celebrating this success, saying that his prayers have been answered. Lots of talk about how blessed they are that their daughter survived, and even putting up a picture on Wednesday saying his #WCW, Women Crush Wednesday, and it's a picture of his young daughter sitting there on his chest and he's cradling her. So really nice moment there from J.R. Smith.
Nice moment. And I think J.R. will be wide awake later Thursday night, Andrew, in Boston, where the Cavaliers play the Boston Celtics in Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Smith, one of their outside scoring threats, and baby, I think he's going to have to put the baby down for at least a few minutes tonight.
Put the
Andrew.
Baby down and pick up the basketball. Now, we see this from time to time when athletes go through some kind of trial or tribulation in their family, whether it's good or bad. It sometimes brings out the best in them on the court. We saw this with Boston's Isaiah Thomas. His sister was killed, and he went out and he had a great game. So sometimes it puts things in perspective, but it gives them the motivation to go out there and play really well. So maybe we'll see that from JR.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you very much.
And that wraps up the May 25th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In Saudi Arabia, the first step on President Donald Trump's inaugural overseas trip, he called on the Muslim world to unequivocally defeat terrorism and stamp out the ideology that drives it.
But above all, we must be united in pursuing the one goal that transcends every other consideration. That goal is to meet history's great test, to conquer extremism and vanquish the forces that terrorism brings with it every single time.
The fight against terrorism is not a battle between different faiths, sects, or civilizations, said President Trump. This battle is a battle between barbaric criminals who seek to obliterate human life and decent people, all in the name of religion. This is a battle between good and evil. But this battle can only be won if everyone does their share. The first task in this joint effort, said President Trump, is for your nations to deny all territory to the foot soldiers of evil. Every country in the region has an absolute duty to ensure that terrorists find no sanctuary on their soil.
Drive them out. Drive them out of your places of worship. Drive them out of your communities. Drive them out of your holy land. And drive them out of this earth.
At the same time, Muslim religious leaders must stand united against the murder of innocent Muslims, the oppression of women, the persecution of Jews, and the slaughter of Christians. Religious leaders, urged President Trump, must make this absolutely clear. Barbarism will deliver you no glory. Piety to evil will bring you no dignity. If you choose the path of terror, your life will be empty. Your life will be brief. And your soul will be fully condemned. For many centuries, the Middle East has been home to Christians, Muslims, and Jews living side by side. We must practice tolerance and respect for each other once again, said President Trump, and make this region a place where every man and woman, no matter their faith or ethnicity, can enjoy a life of dignity and hope.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.
Interested in deeper analysis of news and events in Africa? Then plan to join me, Douglas Impuga, on Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll have African journalists and expert guests discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. So plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Lino Armudou, host of Health Chat. Join us this Tuesday as we take a look at obstetric fistula, a debilitating condition that affects at least 2 million women in the world. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-691-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.